Alright, Tape Traders, it's JD, and I'm here with, my guest for today, the promoter, co-promoter.
Co-promoter.
I want to say it the right way. The co-promoter and, co-podcaster.
Yeah.
Kick Out of Two Podcast and Southern Underground Pro, which me and Johnny were there last week and, was just absolutely awesome. The only one I missed was the very first one you guys did at that other bar.
A lot of people miss that one, which is, We'll talk about.
Right, right. And I didn't miss it on purpose.
No.
I actually had planned on going, and I want to say that there was a reason. I don't remember what it was, but I had planned on going with my buddy Braxton,
mm-hmm.
and we were going to go. And for some reason, I think I had a show either the day before. Somehow I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And I was really disappointed just because I wanted, for nothing else, ever since we've met and everything, I've always, you know, respected you and really enjoyed you and everything. And like I said on the podcast that we did about Sup, I mean, me and you aren't best friends.
Right.
But I definitely consider you to be someone that I respect and value, you know, as the friend that we are. So, of course, when you first put out your first show, I want to be there to support you.
Sure.
You know, not knowing whether it's going to be good or bad, it didn't really matter. You know, I just... $15. I wanted to go and support you and everything, and unfortunately, I couldn't make that show. But I have been at every one since then. I am not not because I don't want to go to every show
right.
in town. I have a big family. I've got a lot of kids. I want to go to shows, but I am not a buy a ticket and go to a show kind of guy.
I'm not either anymore.
If you want to book me,
yep.
If you want me to come and do commentary, if you want me to bring my gimmicks, yeah, I'm all about that. But I'm not a let's just go and hang out at a show. But dude, I will always go to your shows.
Dude, I appreciate that more than you know because you know the struggles of being around wrestling
yeah.
so much. It's
yeah.
It's as fun as it is, it's also extremely draining.
Yes.
And that's why I don't go to as many shows in the area anymore, because when I go to a show, I want to go and I want to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to promote anything.
Right.
I don't want to be asked about a booking. I just want to sit. I want to just forget about the world.
Right.
Because, like, I only watch wrestling and movies. That's about it.
Yeah.
I don't get into TV shows. I want to watch my wrestling. I don't watch my movies. I want to get lost in the match. I want to cheer for the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Hate the bad guy. And just forget about it. And
It's hard.
As much as I love live wrestling, I almost wish I could just like sit by myself.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. It's. I mean, even I've gone. I'm not going to name any names or anything, but I've gone to some of your shows
mm-hmm.
While I was still booking another show, and you know, and there's some guys that you know I'll throw out the name of AJ Gray, who
okay.
I am happy to talk to about booking possibilities
sure.
at a show. Because I want to book him.
Exactly.
You know, there are other guys who may not have even been booked on your show who happen to be there,
yep.
who they see you and they're like, oh, well, now's the perfect time to come talk to this guy about getting on his show and like, and I want to bring my friends and I want to get these guys, and, which is all fine. I mean, that's honestly, that's our business. And
yeah.
so it's totally fine and I totally understand it. But like, I guess maybe because I value the fact that I'm at your show
right.
so much, not working. They don't know that,
sure.
you know, but I value that so much. It's just like, oh, this is exactly the opposite of what I want. You know,
I'm going to figure out a way to, offer, like boxes like Bridgestone has.
Yeah.
So that way you can just get away from it. Cause I understand it, man. Like as awesome as it is, it's also a grind because like, I mean, like you said, I do the podcast too. So it's either, hey, can I get on a Sup show or, hey, can we do an interview? And like, I'm more than happy to talk
right.
about both of those things. Just like, life is stressful,
yeah.
and I just want to enjoy like this 10-minute match.
Yeah.
We'll talk, like
yeah.
shoot me a message. More than happy to talk. Actually, don't shoot me a message because we're trying to streamline everything to our email now.
That oh, way, okay.
We can have it. Everybody has access to it.
Right.
And it's just in one place. That way we're not like, well, I think this person messaged me. No, they messaged this person. Let's reach all the loose
yeah.
ends.
Yeah.
So, like, it's actually helped a lot. It's
yeah.
been really cool.
Well, while we're on that, let's go ahead and direct everyone. Let's direct them to your Facebook page. What is it? Sup Graps? Is that the Facebook? Or no, it's Southern Underground.
Yeah, Southern Underground Pro is the Facebook.
And I know you're super active on Twitter.
Yep.
And that's Sup Graps.
Yep, that's
right?
SUP_GRAPS.
And then webpage?
No webpage. We
okay.
just do Twitter and Instagram are the same handle, so Sup_Graps and then Facebook.
Okay. And Jesse and everyone involved is super, super on Twitter. You
yep.
guys are super... super on top of that.
A promoter actually told me a few years ago, and this is probably like the truest statement that I've heard in wrestling, and that's wrestling lives on Twitter.
Really?
And like I see a lot of people active on Facebook, Instagram is hit or miss,
but
Twitter has been, ever since we've done the podcast, like, and I really paid attention to that, especially within the wrestling Twitter community. I feel like wrestling Twitter, like, for all the negative, like, negativity and drama that there is sometimes, like, it's a really helpful community, and especially for what we do, because I think it was, for our first show, we had a lot of travelers, and then when we paired with Scenic City Invitational, we had, like, I'm pretty sure that was, like, probably 50% of our crowd were just, like,
really?
Out-of-towners, because they were 2 hours away in Chattanooga. They found out about our show, and it's like, well, you know, somebody from Washington State was here, like, I don't know when I'm going to be back, might as well go the 2 hours.
Right.
So, like, that's how we, like, we were kind of spreading the word for a while, was just wrestling Twitter, and then I don't want to say we, like, blew up, but our first show we had at this bar called Cobra, and, like, we had to turn people away.
Wow.
Which is it's a very small room.
Right.
And then you put a wrestling ring in there, and it cuts it, like, more than in half. So I think we crammed about 80 people in there, which was less than we expected.
Uh-huh.
And, like, even the thought of having to turn away people is a really good, it's good and bad.
It's
give and take.
It is a good it is a nice problem to have, though. It is.
It was a great problem because everything was already covered money-wise.
Right.
So we were in the green. And then, so the guy we were going through booking at Cobra had never watched wrestling in his life, had no idea what to expect. We're going through the show and we're seeing, like, there's a spot with Kerry, Awful, and AJ where Kerry ends up on a bar on total accident. And I'm like, damn, like, he's going to kick us out. Like, we're never coming back. Somebody ends up bumping on the bar intentionally. And I was like, yeah, we're done. I'm running back to the sound booth like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, man, it's cool. I'm having a blast. Uh-huh. He was also really messed up. So we got lucky on that one. And at the end of the night, he was like, yeah, we definitely want you guys to come back. So he's like, but we want to do it outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Man.
Was that difficult?
That was terrifying.
Really?
I've never looked at the weather so much in my life.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
We got so lucky. It was pretty warm, but I don't think it could have gone any better.
It is Nashville.
Yeah.
And you just
was in June,
never
dude.
Know what's going to happen
dude,
in Nashville.
Like, what was it last week? Like 70 degrees?
Yeah.
And this morning
yeah.
when I left for work, it was like 34, and I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. The drive to Rockville, to which is like 2 hours from here, the drive to Rockville, it was like 66 degrees. And when we're packing up and leaving, it's like 32 degrees.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh,
and
man.
It drops
it's such
so
a,
quick.
So fast, so fast. So let's go ahead and let's start off at the beginning then with this. Tell us kind of how this all came about. Because when I met you, like, I don't think I ever once talked to you about, like, an idea of you starting a wrestling promotion. Or I'm sure all of us.
Right.
We all.
You fantasize
it's all
it
in
constantly.
There. It's all in there. But, you know, when I first met you, it was very much about this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you were getting that off the ground, and it was kind of smaller. And
sure.
This idea of traveling, you know, this traveling podcast is going to indie shows all over the mm-hmm. country. And I mean, honestly, I do think that is still, to this day, I mean, I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know anyone else. Everyone does review podcasts.
Right.
And my podcast is an indie podcast, but I mean, I don't know anyone that does what you guys did or what you do in the same fashion, because you were active in interacting with smaller people who had maybe names where they were based out
right.
of.
Right. Some buzz, but not like
But they're
TV.
Smaller.
Yeah.
Their name value was a little bit smaller, and the promotions were maybe not quite so well known.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you did go to CZW, right?
We went up to Jersey we went up to Delaware for CZW, ended up going up to Jersey the night before Tournament of Death for Matt Tremont's promotion, Hardcore Hustle.
Yes, and also I think you guys went to AIWs quite often,
man,
right?
I love AIW.
So, I mean, you guys went to some promotions that, you know, again, had some buzz behind them, but
mm-hmm.
for the most part, I mean, even AIW, I mean, I doubt that as many people as we would assume actually know who they are,
right.
You know? And so this idea of this traveling podcast is out there interviewing awesome indie wrestlers at awesome indie wrestling shows. It was awesome. It's a great idea.
I appreciate it.
You know, and I think
it
caught on. I do think that it was successful, you know?
I miss the travel. Like, I always joke, well, not really joke. I always say, like, when I'm at work, they'll ask me, like, well, you know, what is your life like? And, you know, I tell them that I do a wrestling. I don't think it's that interesting because I do it.
Right.
I'm not going to sit there and just, like, blow smoke up my own ass and be like, oh, I'm this cool person, does all these cool things. Like, I know it's different, but I don't think, I still think wrestling's dirty, and that's why I want it.
Right.
So when I tell them what I do, they're just like, you have the most interesting life. And I don't feel that at all. Like, I just do these things, and I kind of thrive off of how chaotic it can be sometimes. Like, when I was working, you know, at a medical billing center, I worked Monday through Thursday, 40 hours. So four 10-hour days. And then some days, if Brittany didn't have to work Friday, we would leave that Thursday night as soon as I got off work. And then we would just go get back Sunday. I'd sleep for maybe 2 hours and go back into work, do it all over again. That's the stuff that I miss.
Yeah.
Because
so jealous.
Dude, it was insane. I got so lucky for that time period, like just having a job that was that giving with that schedule. Right. And then like my performance sucked. I almost lost two jobs because I was just always like wrestling on my phone and just not paying attention because I didn't care about those jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were just burner jobs so I could do what I was doing. Actually, it's funny because all this started because we were going to Atlanta for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, and then Kevin Koo, who was wrestling down there, well, he was wrestling for PCW, which I think was Platinum Championship Wrestling.
Yes, yeah.
So I've known Kevin for years. He used to live in Nashville before, and we had mutual friends, so I met him, you know, we were all hanging out somewhere, met him, we were talking a little bit about wrestling. Fast forward years later. He's living in Atlanta and wrestling PCW. He meets up with me and my co-host Chris at an AWE show, and we're talking, and then we decide to, you know, it's like, hey, let's do an interview. So through that, we, like, reconnected and also became better friends. Mm-hmm. So we just recorded an interview in my car outside of, I think it was Chinese Buddha restaurant. And then him and I just stayed in contact. After that, I think I had mentioned something to him or somebody else about just wanting to try a spot show somewhere. Just somewhere like some bar in like either Donaldson or East Nashville. Mm-hmm. Nothing really ever happened with it. It was just an idea. He randomly texts me, I think it was we're in 2018, December. I think December of it was January of 2017. He randomly texts me and was like, I want to start a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'd love to help you. And he said, that's why I texted you.
Uh-huh.
So we just hit the ground running from there. We spent from January to April of last year planning up until our first show in April. I don't remember the exact date. But the idea
it was the week after after our show. So it would have been the 20 something.
Was that the Scott Norton show?
Yeah. God. Yeah. Yeah.
That's still one of the best days of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we did.
It was one of the best and one of the worst of mine.
Because
that entire show was written 100% by me, and I thought that it was good stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the guys on that show were going to be phased away.
Yeah.
And some of the guys that I brought in for that show were going to be
getting those spots,
bigger spots, and then more guys like that were going to, you know, I had a lot of big plans. We all have big plans.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So it was one of the best and one of the worst days of my life, too. But
I thoroughly enjoyed that show.
It was much better than having a ring fall on me. But,
oh, God. But, that was terrifying.
So keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. So the idea behind it was like, with like punk and hardcore shows for a while, and even like years ago, and even still, you know, to a lesser extent now, at least from my understanding, because I'm not as involved with those communities, it was like kind of hush hush, like invite only, like ask a punk for the address. Sure. So we kind of just like took that idea and ran with it in Nashville, and we wanted to, you know, do it in a bar. That way, we had more leeway.
What you can say, what you can do,
exactly.
How you can dress.
Because I'm not a PG person.
Right, sure, yeah.
I swear all the time, bleed a lot. So.
Yeah.
So we found literally the perfect place in Cobra for our first show. Literally the only restriction we were given was just no fire.
Uh-huh.
So that opens up a whole world of wrestling where you can do literally anything. So we do the first show at Cobra, which was the Battle for Bone Storm, which is where we crowned our first champion, Kurt Stallion, one-night tournament. Then the second show we did in June of last year, 2017, and that's where we had CJ O'Doyle defend mm-hmm. the Freedom Pro Heavyweight Championship against Kevin Koo. But Kevin Koo had to defeat Trip Cassidy to get that spot. Brett Eisen defeated Tank. Tank defeated me.
Uh-huh. And just an insane match.
That was
just an insane match. Just, yeah.
So, for anybody that, you know, may not follow Southern Underground Pro, it was literally a dream of mine to have a death match.
Uh-huh.
And it goes back to Scenic City Invitational 2016, where we interviewed Tank, and, like, Tank's one of those guys, like, if you let him talk, he's going to talk. And uh-huh. He's got some amazing things to say. So he's just sitting in our hotel room talking to us, and I was just like, you know, I've always wanted to do a death match. Like, I messed around with some of the stuff before, and he was like, well, shit, I'm your guy. So we just went with it. And I thought about that day for 9 months before it happened. Uh-huh. Had no idea that it was ever going to happen. I just thought about it. I was like, man, I want this. I want this. I want this. And then the opportunity to present itself. It was supposed to happen on the first show as a special attraction. But the person we were going to get the ring from was like, oh, I don't want hardcore in my ring. Totally understandable.
Uh-huh.
So we just nixed it. We ended up having to get a different ring anyway just because of the building. But it was supposed to happen the first show, happened the second show, and it's literally one of the best days of my life,
uh-huh.
which is crazy because I have all these scars now.
Right.
But it was just insane. Like, the traction that match got and the traction, we had High Spots come in and film that show. I think that trailer got like 10,000 views
wow.
within a matter of like 2 days.
Wow. It
was nuts because, like, yeah. Who are we?
Sure. No, sure, man.
So we go from that to...
And that was Tank's retirement tour, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That year...
That whole retirement tour ended at Scenic City Invitational last year. Matt Riddle uh-huh. was Tank's last match, uh-huh. which is something that Tank wanted a lot.
Yeah.
So so we go from that show to August of last year. We worked out a pseudo-partnership with Scenic City Invitational. Like I said earlier, it's just like 2 hours south.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to work out some deals with some people, get some of those traveling wrestling vans. And that's when we went to the Basement East for the first time. Little did we know that that was going to be the
yeah.
perfect place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great bar, great staff, amazing venue.
The stage, is, you know, I mean, it's
somebody
so
compared
good.
It to PWG, and I get it. But I don't want it.
Right, right.
Because, like...
Now it's too mainstream.
Well, it's not even that. Like, we've gotten one compliment that has literally just blown me away. And that's, after this last show, I saw a lot of people compare us to, like, 97 ECW.
Uh-huh.
Which, for me, growing up, like, an ECW fan, like, hardcore wrestling in general, like, punk rock, that's just, like, the biggest compliment.
Right, right.
So,
which I think you guys have been doing even more, and we'll get to the fans. I want to talk specifically about your
sure.
demographic of fans, but we'll get to that later on. But for someone to say that, I think is even more incredible because ECW fans were wrestling fans.
Yeah,
I would not say Sup Graps fans are necessarily wrestling fans. They're much more Sup Grap fans.
Yeah,
you know,
you're not
so
wrong.
That's even more of a compliment. Because ECW fans were going to be wrestling fans, whether they had ECW
exactly.
or something else there.
Mm-hmm.
The people coming to your show, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm coming to your show.
Right.
But your crowd is made up of people that are coming to your show.
It's weird,
They're
man.
Not watching Monday Night Raw. They're watching your show for their professional wrestling.
I have been going to Nashville wrestling and surrounding areas wrestling since I was like 12 or 13 years old. Now, granted, some of these people are younger than I am.
Right.
Some of them
right.
are about the same age. Some of them are older. Our crowd, like, 95% of our crowd, I've never seen at a wrestling show.
Yeah.
And, like, it's cool now because maybe I didn't notice them before.
Sure.
But, like, at Ring of Honor, I saw a lot of people, like, had a lot of people come up to us. And they were just like, hey, like, can't wait for the show. And,
yeah.
like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
You
sparked their interest.
Yeah.
You created that little flame, that ignition.
Dude, it's nuts. Like, when Kevin and I set out to do this, I don't think either one of us, like, really expected anything mm-hmm. aside from just, like, running a wrestling show. But it's been nuts. Like, it's so gratifying just to, like, not for ourselves, but it's just so gratifying to, like, see the tweets or the Facebook posts or the Instagram posts about people just having a good time. Like,
right.
Because, like, we all know how much the real world can suck. Like, if you can provide, like, a 2 to 3 hour window
yeah.
where somebody can just come hang out, like, drink some beers, drink some water, like, yell some, like, swear words at some guy they hate for 10 minutes, like, just let all that steam and aggression out, like... That's the best,
yeah.
man. Like,
yeah.
That's all I ever wanted. And, you know, like you said about our fans, like, they might not be wrestling fans, and they might be more like sup fans, mm-hmm. but they're the best.
Yeah,
I love them.
Yeah, and they're enjoying wrestling.
Yeah,
you know, that's the important part. And like you said, you're seeing them, and I'm sure some of them are guys, people that you didn't notice that like wrestling for whatever, and just happen to be. But I would venture to say that people you are seeing that are at your shows that you are now seeing at Ring of Honor shows, or maybe you'll see them at Overdrive, or maybe you'll see them at, you know, Freedom Pro when, mm-hmm. when Raleigh comes back, whatever you'll see them later on, more than likely they have decided to go and try this other type of pro wrestling because of the wrestling that they have watched at the Basement East. Right. You know, because you have kind of brought them into the fold. And or maybe they were fans when they were kids.
Right.
And they just got away from it. It wasn't a big deal. But you kind of sparked that interest again inside them. Where you're like, wow, this can be fun. It doesn't have to be WWE wrestling. Right. It can be other stuff, you know?
And as much as I love, like, Freedom Pro, or, like, I just saw that the Carnies got announced for Overdrive, literally... My heart is so full.
And it's going to be such a... Them and Rock and Roll is going to be...
Oh, it's Rock and Roll.
Oh, yeah. I wonder... Maybe I wasn't supposed to. I don't know if I was supposed to say that or not. I've tried real hard because I know the whole card.
Okay.
And I've tried really hard to, like, only announce things as
sure.
Overdrive. No spoilers. So perhaps I may have misspoken on this.
Okay.
but their match is going to be a lot of fun. They're going to. I'm really excited for what they're planning on doing with them, just because I think it's so smart for Nashville.
Uh-huh.
And the time period that it is right now, you know?
I just know how much Carrie's wanted to wrestle at the fairgrounds. That's, like, rite of passage for anybody who's come, like, grew up in, like, Nashville. Because Carrie, Brett Eisen, and our friend Travis, like, we all went to, like, some Burt shows when we were, you know, like, late teens, early 20s, we'd go together. And, like, that building just holds so... Even when I go for the flea market or something stupid, that building, that sports arena just holds... What is it? It's the Gulas Arena now, right?
Yeah.
They renamed it.
It's the Gulas Arena, made specifically for Gulas in the 70s, so he can run weekly wrestling in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was thinking about this, because I plan on having Hammerjack come on and talk right before Overdrive.
That'd be good.
And so I was kind of thinking about the building, and I'm not a wrestling historian,
right.
But I don't believe there are any other buildings left standing that are still in operation that were built for professional wrestling.
Not that I know of.
I think it's, you know, the fairground, that arena, the Gulas Arena. I believe that's the only one that's still standing.
Yeah.
You know, when you look back at, like, the Sportsatorium and all these territorial buildings that were used either specifically for professional wrestling or for the mostly, you know, pro wrestling, they're all gone.
Yeah.
They've all been torn down. Something else is standing or whatever. But no matter how many times, you know, everyone freaks out about things that are going to happen here.
Right.
It's kind of like the soccer stadium. Like, I don't mean to get off on a rant.
No, you're fine.
But, dude, for one, the soccer stadium is going to bring us a whole host of people, man. Whole lot of different people are going to travel here.
City's going to
thrive. If you look at the blueprints that they have out there, they're not going to get rid of the Sportsatorium.
No.
You know, they're not going to get rid of anything at the fairgrounds. It is going to be an addition to it. You know, everyone is so worried about progress. Progress is natural. Mm-hmm. It is just part of our life, and it's okay. It is okay. If they tear down that building, I'll be sad.
Yeah.
I would be sad. I'd want to go there and steal a bunch of bricks.
Hell yeah.
You know, bring them home. All that stuff. 100%. But they will build something else for us. It might be better. It may give people more opportunities to run in different areas.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with progression.
No.
It is just a natural thing. But I do understand. I am not from Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps if I was born and raised here, I would hold even more of a sentimental value with it. But I'm the same way. You know, I have worked so many shows at the fairgrounds, whether it's just as a vendor and nothing more. Or more, you know, backstage, doing a lot more stuff. I've worked so many shows at the fairgrounds. I've never wrestled a match inside the fairgrounds. I've never had the opportunity to be on my back for a 3-count looking up at the lights, you know. And I've always thought, I remember when we were doing Crossfire, I was going to ask Marcus to let me job out on, you know, an opening dark match or something, just because I thought they were going to get rid of the fairgrounds.
You want the experience.
So I wanted to say that I'd done it, you know. I would never want these cats, and I've told each one of them, I've told Riley, I've told Frank, I've told every one of them, I would never run a show at the fairgrounds. No. Me personally. For financial reasons. I would never do it.
It's a hefty bill.
It's a hefty bill. And you don't get a lot in return.
No.
You know? So me personally, I would never do it, but I would love to work a match at the fairgrounds. Just running one, oh man, it just seems like you gotta have a lot of money in that back pocket to start with.
You do. I have inquired because, I'd like to at some point. And I almost feel like, I mean, you've come to our shows. We do something totally different for the area.
Uh-huh.
We're not like the typical Tennessee wrestling show.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like anybody that's watched our shows knows that right off the bat. Because I feel like a lot of people just associate the South with wrestling.
Right.
And
right.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I love the Rock and Roll Express. Right. I love Southern wrestling, Memphis, you know, Smoky Mountain, all of it.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with progression.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've always, when I was younger, there was, you know, like the TWA, which was kind of the precursor for ECW. You know, it wasn't ECW. It was run by Joel Goodhart. But Todd Gordon was involved financially with him. And they would run a weekly show, or not a weekly show, a monthly show at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for some reason at that time period, 89, 90, 91, not very many promoters actually paid to have their shows filmed, like indie shows, you know, unless some people had weekly TV shows still. But for the most part, people didn't do, like, where High Spots now basically sells every single indie show in the world on DVD.
It's nuts.
No one was doing that back then. And so very rarely did you have a promoter invest in someone coming with a camera and filming their shows.
Right.
So a lot of stuff was handheld. A lot of stuff was people bringing their camcorders.
Man.
And,
fan footage.
And I used to see the TWA shows and think, you know, wow, I mean, cause it was adult. Mm-hmm. And it was adult. And I was a teenager, which, you know, is obvious, adult stuff is obviously a lot of fun for teenagers.
Yeah.
But I always just kind of looked at it like not without the scantily clad women and which, you know, to be honest with you, I'm a fan of that kind of stuff. Like,
okay.
I'm a fan of adult things being adult,
sure.
and PG things being PG.
They can live on their own separate worlds.
Yes, I really do believe that. And I am, you know, a pretty progressive person.
Sure.
That respects my wife and respects my daughter and, you know, wants my male children to grow up and do the same thing. And you know, I don't know how to phrase this because I really don't like being political at all.
Sure.
Not just on my podcast, but I don't like doing it in any sense of the word on social media or anything. I'm not that kind of person. I do believe that during our time of voting that we should voice our opinions. But outside of that, I am much more reserved with speaking what my political affiliation is. But I am from California, and I am a progressive person. If that tells you anything, but I do believe that in adult when you are promoting adult content, it can be done in an adult way.
Sure.
And I think that you can push the envelope more,
mm-hmm.
and your characters can be more scandalous and risque, and I like that.
Yeah.
I like people throwing the F-bomb around,
sure.
at an adult show.
Right.
I don't like it. Like, on my show, I would never allow that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want that. I like it when I go to a show at a bar with a beer. I enjoy that. I don't mind, and I'm not saying this is not happening at sub shows, but if I went to a show where, you know, a lady got her shirt ripped off, or if it was involved in the context of the storytelling of the show, I am totally okay with that, you know. And so as a kid, when I'd watch these shows at these more adult shows, not only did I like them because they were risque and scandalous and everything like that, but the wrestling was different.
Yeah.
Because the guys were able to do, they were more aggressive. They could do more things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was talking to Johnny about some other shows that are out there that are a lot like yours.
Yeah.
Not yours. But there's Bar Wrestling in California.
Yep.
There's Hood Slam in California.
Great.
AWE in Atlanta. I think there's a great deal of a need,
yep.
for these kinds of entertainment because, like you said, we are associated with a particular type of professional wrestling here.
People like to talk down on wrestling too, which hurts me because I love wrestling.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Right.
I love the quote unquote wrestling.
Right.
But I'm also, you know,
Jerry Lynn is calling me right now.
He is.
That's kind of weird.
But, you know, there is a need for more, I don't know. I don't know the exact term I'm looking for, but we would just call it, like, punk.
Well, yeah, and the way I was thinking about it is, you know, I wanted to, for like, the shows that I was running, I wanted to bring in an AJ Gray.
Mm-hmm.
I brought in guys like Alex Cruz, mm-hmm. Ray Fury, and I wanted to bring in, you know, what's his name? Jeff Cobb.
Okay.
I really wanted to do Jeff Cobb versus Jeremiah Plunkett.
Man.
Great show, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing is, we need, in order for me to run shows like that, mm-hmm. I have to have someone like you running your type of show. Because I need the wrestling fans around here to realize that there is other kinds of wrestling.
Exactly.
And that there is a faster pace, more aggressive style of professional wrestling out there. And I need the people that aren't watching these things already on YouTube or that aren't already knowledgeable in the PWGs, mm-hmm. that aren't already knowledgeable in bar wrestling, to know, to understand that this stuff is awesome also, you know, and that as much as I love the Rock and Roll Express, as much as I love Jerry the King Lawler and what they do,
right.
You know, I want to do something a little bit more hybrid,
mm-hmm.
where I incorporate a little bit of that wrestling,
sure.
along with a little bit of a new thing, without the wrestling and then without the new thing.
There can be a balance.
There can be, you know, and so we need more companies and more people like yourself out there trying more progressive style of promotions, you know, because it helps me.
Mm-hmm.
It and that's the way I look at all business, you know, whether it's vending, mm-hmm. and Chad is at the same show that I'm at, you know, Heroes and Legends. I welcome that, you
yeah.
know, because I'm different than him.
Yeah, exactly.
I have different things than what he has, and so it helps all of us.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's healthy. It's healthy to have an industry.
It is.
I don't want to work in a thing where it's one company. No. It's Burt Prentice, and that's all there is to it, and there's nothing else.
God, he would hate our shows. Somebody actually walked up to me at the last show, and they'll remain nameless, but he goes, "This is incredible. This is the antithesis of everything Burt Prentice would hate in a wrestling show." And I died because I grew up going to Burt Prentice shows. Like
yeah.
USA Championship Wrestling on Saturdays, TNA on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And, like, you'd see, like, Burt's guys sprinkled in with TNA security.
Uh-huh.
And then you'd see him, you know, Saturday night, Fairgrounds, USA Championship Wrestling. I love that
Yeah,
stuff.
And that's the thing. Like, I'm right there with you. Mm-hmm. I love Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yep.
You know, I love USWA.
Oh, yeah.
And and honestly, Music City Wrestling was, like, was my ECW growing up because I could go.
Sure.
You know, I couldn't go to ECW shows. I could go to Music City Wrestling shows, you know?
So I don't have any actual tape trading stories because I didn't give anything to get these. But going to USA Championship Wrestling in the NWA TNA shows, I was loaned some Music City Wrestling tapes way back when. And I remember being like 12, 13 years old, just sitting on my
uh-huh.
bedroom floor and just watching these tapes for hours and hours and hours and like, dude, like, anybody who was anybody before they went to the
uh-huh.
WWF at the time came through here, like, Shane Helms, Hurricane, Hardy Boys. I'm trying to think of who else was on those tapes, but, like...
And you're right, Burt would use... He'd bring in the Headbangers.
Yeah.
And the Harris Boys, but yep. at the time, they were the DOA.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, he had Derek King. He
yep.
had Frenchie Riviera. He had...
Yeah,
Frenchie. And, you know, I'm not a giant fan of Mike Rapata.
Right.
Personally, I'm not
kid,
personally.
Baby.
That's the wrong way to say it. I like him personally.
Right.
I'm not a giant right. fan of his work.
I get it.
But Colorado versus Terry Golden.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, I guarantee you, out of every 100 people knows who Terry Golden is.
Yep.
Just no one knows who that guy is, and no one should. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like he's out there. He wasn't setting the world on fire
yeah.
and traveling all over the world, but, man.
These guys were stars in our area.
The two of them beat the hell out of each other. And when I'm 15 years old watching them beat the crap out of each other, like, I'm like, whoa, this is awesome. Just awesome,
and
you
even,
know?
Even as a smarter fan, you're watching some of this stuff, and you're like, I don't know.
Yes.
They're blurring lines.
That Music City was my ECW.
Mm-hmm.
But we're both fans of that. We're
yeah.
both fans of wrestling different than what you're promoting.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that proves that, like, you don't have to only love one kind. Wrestling, all wrestling is subjective. You can love all different kinds of it for all different kinds of reasons,
true.
You know?
So, quick funny story. Our whole card changed less than 24 hours before the show.
I actually read that when I woke up. Ooh. I read it on Twitter, and I was like, oh, well, this is interesting.
Man, so our first, like, let's see, we did April, June, August, October. Our first four shows, we had one cancellation, and it was pretty far ahead of the show, so we could plan for that, find a suitable replacement. We didn't really have any hiccups. We got super lucky. So it's like everything we missed last year, we caught in the ass on this first show, which is, it's fine.
Yeah.
We were going to get it at some point, and I'd rather go ahead and get all of it. So we're,
one time.
Let's just get it all over with. So we're like, okay, what are we going to do? Like, who do we have less than 24 hours before our show? Who can we find as a replacement for any of these matches? I'm going through my phone, looking for contacts, and just like, from the interviews that I've done, I have all these different numbers. I'm like, well, Crazy Steve, you know, maybe we could try him. Uh-huh. And then, like, something didn't, you know, that didn't work out. And I'm just going through, I was like, Ricky Morton, he lives in East Tennessee, you know, and I throw that out there, and...
Which he would have, honestly, he would have been great.
God.
I could have, anybody, I could have seen him being really good.
I would love to, I've pitched the Rock and Roll Express a couple times.
They would work. Just, they would work for you, yeah.
I think they would get over great.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the whole thing just like, it didn't collapse, but it was like a shell of what we had booked.
Uh-huh.
So basically what happened was a couple of the guys, were wrestling in Wisconsin, I believe. And there was a snowstorm up there and, they just weren't going to be able to make it because of the snowstorm. Like there's no way. They had two other people that they were meeting to have ride with them. And there's just no way if the other two people would have waited, then they wouldn't have made it.
Right.
So then we would have been out those four people and had to replace even more spots. So they chose just to pull off. They hated that it was last minute. Like, I get it.
Yeah,
I know that these things happen. You can't control the weather.
And we know when you're a professional wrestler, you don't want to lose a booking.
You really don't.
Not just because you want to be there, but I mean, that's how you pay your bills.
Exactly.
You don't want to lose a booking.
So, since... the guys were Matt Nix and Stevie Fierce. They wrestled another show in Wisconsin. They wrestled a show in Wisconsin, and they couldn't make it just because of the storm. Kylie Rae was supposed to ride with them, and then we got a hold of her, and she was like, well, I can't make it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, totally understandable.
Yeah.
It's not a close drive at all. And then Kevin Lee Davidson, who's wrestled for us a handful of times, he...
had an injury.
Yeah, his neck.
Yeah.
He's been worried about his neck for a while, and he's, you know, taking some time off for a while. So, yeah, we had some big holes to fill. Basically, the deal that we had going was Curt Stallion's our champion. Dominic Greeny earned a number one contendership spot, and he wants a title shot. So I think it was our October show. Yeah, it was our October show. Curt wasn't originally supposed to be there. He was booked for another show that turned out to be a not real show, Canuck Pro, I think. And then I think I was the one that actually told him that show was a sham.
Uh-huh.
And then we worked out a deal, and he came down. Well, Dominic was already booked. Curt ends up defending the title against Paco Gonzalez.
Which they had a good match.
They really
did. They had a really good match.
Paco's really good.
Yes.
I think more people need to start paying attention to Paco. So, you know, we just kind of spin it in the angle. And at the end of the show, there's like all this chaos, and Dominic's like, I want my title shot. So the plan was to hold that off until April for our one-year show. Well, we catch all these curveballs, and we're scrambling basically to find an opponent for Dominic. Like, Dominic's no slouch. He's, I think, maybe 2 years in, but he's got like a crazy Brazilian jiu-jitsu background. He's a fighter. He's an athlete. So we're like, man, who can we put with Dominic that makes sense on such short notice? And we just, like, every avenue we try, it's not working.
Right.
So we're like, screw it. We'll just do the title match. We'll just, you know, we'll bump that up, and we'll figure out something for April. So we do it. And I think it was, like, we all said, and we're not the most positive people in the world, but we all said that this show probably came out better than the original show.
Right, right.
Which is insane. Our biggest crowd, we had a ridiculous jump in ticket sales even during and after all of the changes were made.
Right.
Which I don't know if that happens to promoters often, but like we woke up, and we keep a very close eye on the ticket sales. I woke up, and I found out where we were at as opposed to where we were, and I was just like, holy shit. Like, Like, did they see the changes? So we get there, and, like, I'm expecting, you know, maybe to catch a little bit of grief, rightfully so. It's 25 hours before the show, and we're making all these changes. But everybody's great. Like, I didn't expect that at all. Like,
whew. Man, we showed up there, and so me and my, my buddy Braxton, who me and him worked together for AWA, and then super cool young guy who's in college, and unfortunately pro wrestling has deteriorated his brain, and he loves it too, you know. And so he does a lot of work with me, you know. He'll come and help me with my table and stuff when we do fairground shows, and he'll travel with me. He's going to come with me to Alabama on the 30th and 31st. So he's a good guy. And so me and him have been coming to your shows. The last show, he brought a friend of his. This show, I told Johnny, I was like, hey dude, you've got to come with me to this, you know,
come check out this adult wrestling.
So, Braxton and his buddy, they both brought their girlfriends who have never seen pro wrestling live. And then me and Johnny, and we all kind of showed up at the same time, you know? So we're walking to the venue. We're walking, cause we park a little bit farther down, you know, and we were walking up to the venue, and I'm like, man, there's a whole lot of people waiting outside, you know, and your last show was packed too. It was, there was a lot of people there. But like, there was as many people that I remember being there waiting outside to pay to get in. I'm like, oh man, there's a lot of people here, you know?
I have no qualms throwing these numbers out there because it just shows growth. And we took a 4-month break. Our last show, I believe we had 99 people pay, which isn't bad.
No,
I don't think that's bad. This show, I don't know. I remember the exact number. It was either 172 or 175.
Wow.
Like,
that's what I said. Like, not only did you maintain your audience during your break, but you grew it.
I don't understand how.
And like, every time I'd go get a beer, you know, I'd run out, I'd go get a beer, and where I was standing, the spot I was standing, I'd walk, go get the beer, come back, and there'd be four people standing in the one spot that I was standing.
I remember for my match walking out, and I had heard that there were two girls that just saw the line, and like, what's going on in here? And
so was
like, it's wrestling, and they were like, okay, 15 bucks, that's fine. So they pay to get in, and I'm sure like, all of the show for the most part is like, okay, I can handle this. This is wrestling.
Right.
Okay, I've seen this on TV. That's fine. And then you have me coming out, and I don't know how much I can swear on here.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Go ahead. Go,
I come out. The first thing I say when you see me is it's time to fucking die. Because that's like my whole gimmick. I'm sure they were like, what the hell is about to happen? So then like you see me and Brett in the ring, and you're just like, well, I know how this is going to go. The story
and Brett's a scary guy.
God,
you know, he's a terrifying person.
Man. So, like, we're having our match, and people are probably like, okay, dog collar, no big deal. Well, then the chain breaks.
Yeah.
And I feel like, at that point, like, one, that was not supposed to happen. And two, like, we just accidentally upped the intensity of the match.
Yeah.
Like, that's, that looks like pure hatred. So then we start bringing out all the gimmicks, all the pans and stuff. And at that point, I can only imagine that somebody who's never been to wrestling is like, oh, okay, they're going to take a chair shot or something. Probably never expected to see somebody get dollars stapled to their head, let alone have a fucking stapler punched into their skull. And then,
and
like,
leave a dent in your head.
Man, I don't know. Like, I know that wasn't there before, but I felt it today, and I was like, holy shit. Like, the swelling's finally gone, but what is this, like, ditch in my head? So, you know, we're doing the whole thing, and then I remember talking to one of my buddies and, like, peel the curtain back. Like, I love Tank. And I was talking to one of my buddies, and I was like, you know, this is really dumb, but I'm thinking about, like, incorporating, like, real headbutts into the match. And he was just like, I don't really appreciate that. Like, it's not for everybody. So Brett and I are, like, doing the match, and we, you know, we've done the staples, and I, like, in that kind of environment, you can't just, like, it's harder to call stuff.
Yeah, well, everyone is on top of you.
Yeah.
They're all on top of you.
So I was like, I gotta do something, and I'm not gonna be able to just, like, call it, because
to
there's
feel,
people...
Feel the situation kind
of
thing.
Yeah, there's people, like, right behind me, so I just yell, it's a shoot fucking headbutt, and luckily, Brett is literally, like, my flesh and blood, so I knew I could get away with it, and, dude, he's got such a hard fucking head. I regretted that instantly, not because it hurt, but because I knew I had to take one immediately after. Yeah. So I watched a clip that somebody sent me. He headbutts me. I make the grossest face and was like, no, I cut him off. Like, cause I was, there's no way I was doing that again. No way in hell I was doing that again. But I can only imagine that at that point, somebody's just like, that's skull on skull. Yeah. And then I take like 3 unprotected chair shots, like a complete idiot. And like, I watched another clip that somebody sent me, and there's just somebody screaming like bloody murder during the match that I didn't even hear at the time. Right. And it made me laugh, but also I kind of felt bad because I was also watching one of my friend's reactions. And I joke with my girlfriend and I call her like my moral compass because like, she kind of like, I see what she says on the internet and it kind of like lets me know, like it gives me a good feel for certain people.
Right.
So I'm like watching her reactions and she's like legitimately like cringing and like worried about me, which is nuts because like we're not like super close. We talk occasionally. We're always very, you know, friendly and pleasant. But it's weird. Like you always see that investment, you know, you have that investment when you're watching wrestling, but it's a weird thing to see it when it's you.
When you're watching yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
So seeing that, like, for the first time, I was just like, I've done a death match. None of the reactions bothered me. This felt a little different.
Right.
Maybe it was because there was, like, no blood.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
It almost made it more, it almost made it more intense, maybe?
Yeah.
Because the blood almost, when you gig, it almost helps let the fans know that it's still fake.
Yeah.
You know what
you
I mean?
You expect the blood.
It's movie. It's TV show. It's theatrics.
Yeah.
When you hear two skulls hit and there's no blood afterwards, then it's like, ooh, that really just happened.
Yeah.
And I know, like, dude, real headbutts
mm-hmm.
make me sick.
Yeah.
Like, to do.
Yeah.
To hear,
yeah.
To watch, it's cringeworthy.
I tweeted about it, and I was just like, never doing that again. And some guy was just like, maybe don't call attention to it on the internet. But I feel it's kind of important. No,
I do, too. I think you should.
Yeah.
You know, you did it. It happened. Definitely
never again.
Don't pretend like it didn't.
Yeah.
I saw Doug's clip. Doug was reffing mm-hmm. out there last night, and he showed us his clip from
him
from
and Kurt.
Yeah. Dude, Doug is he's actually going to be here next Sunday. Doug is going to come and interview
Doug is
next
such
Sunday.
A fun interview.
And last night, and you know what's funny is, okay, I'm not going to give too much specifics because Doug was like, I recorded some stuff last night mm-hmm. that I landed deleting from my phone that I did not put on the podcast that I had planned on doing it, but unfortunately I unintentionally buried Doug while we were doing it. And so I deleted the whole file because I was like, instead of even worrying about cutting this out or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to get rid of the whole thing.
Sure.
Cause I love Doug with all my heart.
He's the best.
And he is. And that's the thing. He is the best. But Doug is such an awesome person. And, Doug's state of mind.
Uh-huh.
Is one of my favorite things.
Yes.
Me and Doug, we went to, I think you were actually supposed to come with us, and something happened with work. We went and saw Memphis Heat.
Yep.
In Memphis. It was me, Doug, and Marlon Half Pint.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down there, and I had known Doug for a few years
right.
at shows. I had never spent any time with him before that,
he's
you know? And it's one of those wrestling things where
yeah.
it's like, we all just decided to go take a 4-hour trip, you know, to go and for wrestling.
Yeah.
And so we're walking around and we're going to shops and we're talking wrestling and we go to the Jerry Lawler's barbecue place
mm-hmm.
and you know I'm like, man, I love this guy. This guy is
the best.
And he was he has lost one whole Doug
he
since
really
that time.
Has. It's insane. He looks great. He's just such a fun person to be around. Like I don't think I've ever heard him like genuinely complain about anything.
Right.
He's just literally happy to be there.
He worked for me
mm-hmm.
every match by himself.
I remember that.
And then the next night he worked for you every match
yeah.
by himself.
Dude, he is a beast. He's a beast.
The issues that the reason why the company that I was booking for at the time was no longer around involved money.
Okay.
And I'll never forget that night. You know, Doug had there was some issues that took place, and I really am trying to phrase this in a way I don't want to call out the anyone
sure.
involved. But I made sure that not only did Doug get his money, mm-hmm. but I also made sure to give him more money because it's like he wasn't supposed to ref by himself.
Oh, I know.
That was never the plan.
It's never the plan ever.
Yeah. Not only did we have other refs book that couldn't make it, but then I actually reached out to someone else. One of those people that if you ever need anything, just let me know. I'll always support everything you do. I'll show up and not even work just to help you. One of those people.
I'm busy.
And no, who told me that they'd be there.
Oh,
who never showed
no.
up. Okay, so not only did we have someone booked, not only did I reach out to someone who was supposed to come and help me just to help me, but then the promoter is a referee. So... unfortunately though, but the best thing about Doug is that Doug is so good. I mean, he worked his ass off, but he was great in every match.
Yeah.
And everything we needed him to do is, you know, whether it's sell something or whatever, you know, whatever we needed him to do, he did it every match.
True
perfect.
Professional.
You know, I mean, Doug is a true professional and he's one of those guys that still has that old school mentality of Doug loves professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
He is a mark, like I'm a mark, in that sense that we, deep down, love pro wrestling, but it's business.
Yeah.
Doug is a businessman who wants to expand his resume,
yeah.
you know? And he's willing to go everywhere and work anywhere, you
yeah,
know?
Before
I mean,
our last show, what, he was in Virginia, I think?
Yes, yeah.
And he drove, yeah. He,
the day, but he, that's what he said,
yeah.
that he was like, he was falling, I mean... We know why Doug was falling asleep.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he said that, you know, I mean, he got an hour and a half, 2 hours worth of sleep in
yeah.
between shows. You know, I mean, he...
I even checked with him. I was like, are you sure? And he was
yeah.
like, yeah, man, wouldn't miss it.
And yeah, sure and he enough, did a great job.
He showed up early.
Yeah.
And I was just like, damn, dude.
Yeah, he said he was so tired, he actually didn't interact. He didn't, you know...
Yeah.
Usually he walks around.
He was quieter that night.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
it's crazy because I feel like Doug is one of the most over part of our show.
Oh, without question.
If a referee comes out and they're not Doug... It's insane.
Yeah.
It's chaos.
Yeah, Doug he's just great. He's just hands down. So you kind of touched on the fairgrounds.
Sure.
That's something that is in your sight, mm-hmm. in your head. Tell me kind of what, you know, what is your short-term plans for stuff? What's your vision right now? Because I felt like when me and Johnny came back, and like I was telling you before we started recording, we had drank a lot at the show. So, you know... And we don't do a review show,
sure.
you know, and so we were just kind of just talking about our night, you know,
yeah.
and basically I hope that we got across just how much fun we had at your show, even if we forgot people's names.
Hey, man.
And every,
first time seeing a lot of those people, so I get it.
And you know, stuff like that. But one of the things I had said, and I tried to go back and kind of change what I said, because I didn't mean, I'd said that, you know, a bar show is great because it's not oversaturated with story.
Right.
And you guys had story in your show. I didn't mean it like there was no story.
Right.
But it is a different... A bar show is booked in a way that you get to pop the fans a
exactly.
little bit more often
mm-hmm.
than maybe you would if you were running a weekly show or if you were, you know, trying to... A heavily storyline-involved
sure.
environment, you know? But you guys have some stories that have taken place from the start to where
literally,
you are now.
Literally for a year.
Yeah. So what is your short term, you know, 2018, what is your plans for this year?
Really, like, so we're going to stick to the bi-monthly shows. They work great for us. The goal was to, peel back the curtain here, to get to the point where Dominic gets the championship.
Mm-hmm.
We had to expedite that.
Mm-hmm.
No worries.
Sure.
We've already started, you know, planning out how we're going to do April now. Personally, I would like to do more tag team stuff. We have the Carnies into singles, which is cool because
yeah.
that's something that not a lot of people get. So it's while it's not, like, exclusive to us, it is still kind of exclusive to us. Really, like, the goal for me personally, and I can't speak for everybody else involved, is just more tag team stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love tag team wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I did tag team wrestling, and it's much like women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the up and up.
Yeah.
There's several great tag teams out there. Something else, you know, we have the Making Towns Classic coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's May 10th.
The week before Overdrive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the week before Overdrive. So, more women's wrestling,
mm-hmm.
you know, women's wrestling is
which
a fantastic
I wanna,
spot.
What is Kevin Q's girlfriend's name?
Emma. His wife.
Are they married?
Mm-hmm.
She is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
She's
fantastic.
Just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys going to do women matches?
Yeah.
Woman versus... Because I know you were supposed to.
Yeah.
And then things...
Josh Bishop comes out at our October show for the Trick or Treat Battle Royal. Everybody's like, do we have to dress up? I was like, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to, by all means.
Why would you not want to?
Dude.
I'd be all over that.
Exactly. I would come out dressed as Macho Man. I don't even fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Mr. JL all the way. And I don't even get the stuff from Jerry. You know?
That'd be incredible. So Josh Bishop comes out, little cat ears, slutty cat written across his chest, whiskers. We all knew Alley Cat.
Uh-huh.
Just from like talking on the internet and stuff. And it was like kind of a running joke that we had, like maybe we do cat versus cat. So we were going to do... Josh Bishop was going to be in a scramble match. Alley Cat was going to wrestle Kylie Rae. We were going to save Cat versus Cat for April.
Okay.
Another one of those things. We just had to expedite.
Yeah.
We had the plans there. We just had to, all right, we'll just pull them in.
Right.
I know that intergender wrestling is hit and miss, especially in the South. And I get it,
100%.
Right. I had this conversation with somebody the other day. They were like, why do you think intergender wrestling is so hot right now? This is all coming from somebody who isn't really a fan of intergender wrestling. They asked me that. And I said, I think it has a lot to do, and again, I'm not one to really talk political stances or anything. I was like, I think it has a lot to do with feminism right now, because feminism is like, it's at the forefront of the world. So what we did unintentionally by having Angelus Lane come in and just fucking wreck house, we gave our female fans, our women fans... a strong woman to get behind, whether she was a heel or a babyface. Like, we put her right at the top.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I have a super crazy crush on her.
Like, Angelus?
Like, oh yeah, like super, super duper,
man.
Like hardcore.
She.
I like punk rock.
Right.
Women. That's my thing.
Sure.
And she's super tough.
We met Angelus. Chris and I met Angelus last year at the Punk Pro Wrestling Show in, I think it was Indianapolis, maybe. We interviewed her, and she, you know, found out that she broke both of her arms at the same time wrestling.
Whoa.
She did a dive and just landed all sorts of fucked up and broke both of her arms at the same time. Yeah, there's pictures of, like, her sitting... like in like double casts.
Whoa.
Yeah, she's tough as shit.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the feud with her and Kevin works out so great, because she broke his neck, like legit broke his neck. And you know, like, he's also tough as shit.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
I knew when we got to the blow off for them, it was just gonna be wild. And, you know, I got to see some clips. I haven't seen all of it yet, but I got to see some clips, and it's just chaos.
Right.
Like,
right.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and I want to... When I say I have a super crush on her, I do.
Right.
But I very much respect her
as
a worker, because I think that's why I have a crush on her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's a lot of good-looking women in the world, but there's something very respectable about someone that can come out there and work the way... She's so real.
Respect
she's
attention.
Just so real, and she is an imposing person. You know?
When I see her and Kevin, like, in the ring together, I don't... It's weird, because, like, my brain knows it's, like, intergender wrestling, but it's also, like, my brain is, like, totally just, you know, it doesn't even recognize that. It's, like... I know that they're going to beat the shit out of each other.
Right.
I know
right.
that this is going to go hard, and it's going to be great. And like I told my buddy, I was like, I think that intergender wrestling and women's wrestling, you know, it's important right now, because if you look at our crowd, there's a lot of women there.
Yeah, there really is.
And it's women that are on Twitter and on Facebook, and they're very vocal about what they want in wrestling, and very vocal about the wrestlers that they actually enjoy watching, male or female. And for us to give Angelus such a strong role, I think we didn't intentionally do that, but I think it helped us a lot, because, you know, now, like, those fans are going to tell, like, their girlfriends, like, these guys are, like, really, they're serious about like women's wrestling, they're serious about women's wrestlers. And we are, you know, we're kind of trying to work out something with Making Towns Classic, because Papa Hales is behind that. Our good friend Jeremy Snyder, he's involved in that as well. And with Alley Cat being a part of our show and being a part of the Making Towns Classic, I think it was a great introduction mm-hmm. because, you know, she hadn't wrestled in Nashville. I don't think she'd wrestled in Tennessee before our show. But she's going to be back in May.
For
Making Towns Classic. And now, you know, everybody who was there, if they see a graphic for her floating around for Making Towns Classic, they'll know.
They'll know, yeah.
So it's like great little cross promotion. But like, I know that intergender wrestling isn't for everybody. Some people find it not as believable. In the case of Kevin Koo and Angelus Lane, I think it's the perfect story.
I'm not a fan mm-hmm. of intergender wrestling, but I like all good wrestling.
Sure.
And the last thing that I'm worried about is whether it's a man versus a woman.
Right.
That really is not, that's not the most important thing.
Sure.
It is what the match quality is.
Is it good?
I am one of those people, more or less, okay, when I watch Brian Cage wrestle Candice LeRae,
mm-hmm.
it's not as enjoyable to me to watch that match because right. the match is booked, Brian Cage doing as much despicable shit to her as possible.
Right.
The match is booked with him just beating the hell out of her. Mm-hmm. And that's not enjoyable to me. I don't find that enjoyable, right. you know? I would rather watch two incredibly talented women really show their skills
sure.
against each other. Or a talented woman and a talented guy show their skills against each
sure.
other, you know? So it's less about the intergender part and much more about the, I guess, the booking of the match itself. Mm-hmm.
The believability.
I still really, because I believe Rey Mysterio can beat the shit out of the Big Show in the right circumstance.
Sure.
If the match is booked in a way that Big Show still is as strong as the giant as he is, mm-hmm. while Rey Mysterio is just getting lucky and his skills are what's causing him to go, oh, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, if we're doing Rey Mysterio versus Big Show and Rey, and it's just Gaga and it's yeah. comedy and it's, then that's not no fun.
Sure.
If I watch a woman wrestle a man and the match is booked in a way where the woman is strong, the man is strong, and she gets over on him, that's great.
Yep.
If I'm watching a woman versus a man and the whole point of the match is that this giant dude is beating, I don't want to see that.
Right.
You know, like, that's not great. So I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how big of a fan I am of hers because I just really, really am. And I've never seen her before, you're sure. You know, which is another thing I wanted to touch on, Kurt Stallion. Never seen him before. And I consider myself someone that maybe not as knowledgeable at current day indie stuff as maybe someone like you.
Mm-hmm.
But I spend a lot of time. I don't watch WWE.
You probably watch more wrestling than I do.
I watch a lot of indie wrestling, mm-hmm. you know, and there is a lot of people that are at your shows that I didn't know before your show.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of people at your show that I knew of. Brett.
Yeah.
I knew of Brett. I can't tell you I don't know if I've ever seen him wrestle.
Yeah.
I knew him from, he obviously lives right here.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of the group of people that I associate with, you
right.
know, in one way or another, you know, 6 degrees
yeah.
somewhere.
Odd random limb somewhere out there. Yeah.
yeah you know, so I've seen him on every, you know, on SWF posters.
ASW, all that stuff.
Yeah. You know, so I knew him, but I had no idea how good he was
mm-hmm.
until I got to see him live.
He's a diamond in the rough here, man.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely sticks out like a sore thumb, and I think that's beneficial for him.
Right.
Because a lot of the guys are, that's going to sound shitty, but I'm going to say it anyway. A lot of the guys are used to working like the same style of match.
Mm-hmm.
Brett hits fucking hard.
Yeah.
And he studies that Japanese wrestling, that strong style, like all that stuff.
Chris right.
Heroes, all that stuff. His strike's legit. Like, I've real life seen Brett just pummel people.
Right.
And like, It's legit. Like, I forgot how fucking hard he hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I was just glad that I caught half an ass whooping.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, he's a wake up call for people around here because it's not, you know, the same match formula.
And like I had said earlier, like, you're bringing in people that I maybe not so familiar with. Mm-hmm. I love Kurt Stallion.
Yeah.
Personally, mm-hmm. from watching him now. AJ Gray. I met him on an AWA tour that we were doing where AJ came to help with Ring Crew
mm-hmm.
and never watched him work. Got to know him through those 3 days straight and thought that he was, like, you know, a great dude and everything.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen him work until I saw him work. I'd seen clips, you know.
Oh, and clips.
AJ
is
a high spot,
man.
High spot master. But I'd never seen him work a match until I saw him at your show. And I just kind of, this goes back to what I was saying before about how important I think Southern Underground is.
Sure.
And I really, really do mean that. You know, not only do I like you as a person and, you know, I want you to do well
sure.
and I want your venture to do well.
That. Is there any way we can pause so I can pee?
Yeah. Cool. All right. So actually, we are coming. We're closing in on the 80 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it goes really fast. And like,
it really does.
With everyone so far that I've talked to, everyone's like, oh, man. And I have been struggling to decide, should I go over, you know, 80 minutes? I'm afraid that, you know, I'm not Conrad Thompson. You know what I mean? I'm not Bruce Pritchard. Like, how long do people really want to listen to me talk?
Me personally, I appreciate the time constraints you put because it leaves people wanting more.
Yeah.
And
I would, and like for you, like someone like you, like open-ended invitation to come whenever you want. And I would rather people, honestly, I would rather have a show where it's like I have this group of people that come on,
like
that people kind of know what to expect, know what they're going to talk about, know what they're going to sound like, you know, like kind of like that. And then we can throw in a new guy, you know, here. And, yeah, you know. And so I just try to think when I'm at work, because I do the same thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
I work in a kitchen and I listen to podcasts a lot while I'm working. And I know that I enjoy, I like Bruce Pritchard's show, and I like Tony Schiavone's show, and I like their shows, but sometimes like a 5-hour show, I wait to listen to that until like maybe I'm mowing the yard.
Yeah.
Or something like that, because I'd rather listen to Booking the Territories.
Yep.
Their show is 45 minutes, you know, so I get to hear the whole show while I'm working. Or what else do I listen to? I listen to Dutch Mantel's show.
Okay.
But these shows are shorter in time length, you know, they're at that hour mark.
Sure.
So I can kind of get through them, you know.
Or if you stockpile them, you can binge them.
That's another thing. Yeah, Booking the Fuller's, Fuller Show. I did the Studcast. That's how I listened to all of his shows, all in one drive to some show, you know, show I did. But I did want to leave with, you know, giving you more props on just how important I think your company is to all of us. And not just me as a fan, but me as someone who is, you know, it lives here in this area and is trying to make a living, you know, or trying to make every dollar he can in this business, we need you to be here. We need people to look at Nashville and the Tennessee area and find our wrestling and what we do just as important as the Northeast.
Sure.
Just as important as Florida, just as important as California, which it blows me away because when I was growing up, California wasn't shit.
That's crazy, man.
You know, there was very, very small wrestling promotions in California when I was a kid. And then there was XPW.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You can get 2 days worth of stuff if you put me and AJ Gray in a room.
Really?
About XPW.
Really?
XPW and WWA. That's how AJ and I got to be pretty close. Is just like, I think I was watching a WWA show on High Spots. I convinced him to watch the same one on YouTube, so we were watching it at the same time, just texting, and then we both find out that we watch a bunch of XPW, so like we shoot off crazy ideas
with Hood Slam. APW is a completely different promotion than it was when I was a kid, when Roland Alexander was running the school out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Bar wrestling, all of these PWG, like California is all of a sudden this hot commodity of wrestling when it wasn't when I was a kid. When I lived there, there was no wrestling to go see.
It is a hot now.
But I feel like we deserve that. Yeah. And I've thought this for a really long time. You know, I was a part of Reno's Showtime All-Star Wrestling, and I was a part of Crossfire. And, you know, even in the mid-2000s, mm-hmm. I felt like we're doing something out here where we're bringing in different wrestlers and we're bringing in different talents and we have our old talents and we're mixing them all together.
Sure.
For a long time, for the last, you know, 10 years, maybe not that long, but for a long time, it's been lacking.
Yeah.
I feel like the last 3 years have been a big change in course.
It's been a huge change.
Lots of people, you know, Freedom Pro has come in, Overdrive has come in, you guys have come in.
I can't thank Freedom Pro enough because, like, they had a formula, and it was a very successful formula mm-hmm. for their shows, and they got bigger and bigger and bigger each time. You could tell, one, by the crowd, two, by the production. They would add something here. They would add something there. You'd see these people here, these people there. They were opening different sections of the fairgrounds, so, you know, you were getting more seats.
Yeah.
They were working with companies, and these people were sponsoring seats for, you know, less fortunate children.
Yeah.
Huge. Also, I developed a relationship with them personally because, you know, they would, you know, want me to interview somebody on their show. And it's like, interview X, Y, and Z,
right.
and we'll build up to this bigger name. No problem at all. I love doing that stuff. Then, you know, worked out a personal relationship with them, and it turns out, you know, they want to, this is obviously before, you know, Riley moved away.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to utilize my show to appeal to a more raw crowd.
Right, right.
That way we get some cross promotion. You know, we had a great relationship with them, and, you know, Freedom Pro was a breath of fresh air in Nashville
yeah.
because it was, while I think it's funny, if you go to most shows in probably like, what, a 45-minute radius, you'll see a lot of the same faces helping. Mm-hmm. Security, ring crew.
Right, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
exactly what
oh,
I'm
yeah.
talking about.
yeah.
And I feel like I was actually kind of worried at first because, like, we have a very small crew.
Yeah.
We very, very much rely on people getting there early to help. And it's not, you know, a knock or a slight at anybody that, you know, travels to those shows to help that has done that for years. It's just like, we have a very small crew
right.
for a reason.
Right.
If something goes wrong, it's solely on us.
Right.
You know, and I've literally seen some of those people since I was a kid. And when one of them finally showed up to one of our shows, he looked at me, and it was the June show. He looked at me and he said, who do y'all have booked tonight? And I told him, he goes, I'll pass, and left.
Wow.
October, paid for a ticket.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. That's something. Wow.
I didn't take that personally.
No, yeah,
either.
Sure. Sure.
I laughed at it because I expected it.
Uh-huh.
I know that we're not necessarily for the typical Nashville wrestling
right,
fan.
Right.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
I know that I am deep at heart the typical Nashville wrestling fan, and maybe if I was a little bit older, maybe a little bit more set in my ways,
right.
I may not be as accepting to this. But it's just really funny to me how that one person in June was like, no, I'm good. Just straight up watched him get in his vehicle, left, didn't come back. October, I saw him. And then we went up to a tried and true show, and he was there, and he's like, y'all had a great show. Maybe a little less cussing. And I was like, that's
kind of what we do.
That's our shtick.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we do. I apologize if you, you know, aren't a fan of that, but that's what to expect. And,
yeah.
You know, he didn't come back in February, which is, you know, it's fine. I get it. Like I said, not for everybody. And
right.
we're very aware of that. We're very conscious of that. But we want to be for everybody.
Right.
That's the goal, you know. You know, we want you to maybe we'll be like your dirty little secret of professional wrestling. Like, you're a purist, but, you know, maybe you just show up, pop in for a minute, watch a match, and dip out. Like,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, we are at a point now, and like I said, the last, you know, 3 years have really, really expanded
yeah.
and really changed. But, you know, we have tried and true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as I know, Riley is still planning on coming back
good.
The summer. And I, too, have, you know... What I like most about Riley, and Riley does not book the wrestling show that I would.
Mm-hmm.
You don't book the wrestling show that I would.
That's the beauty of it.
So, you know, it is what it is, but I like Riley because Riley will sit down with me. We will go have lunch,
mm-hmm.
and he will ask me to be candid with him on what I do and don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I always let him know that, you know, everything I tell him doesn't mean that I'm not telling anyone to change anything they do.
Sure.
My opinion is just that. It's
exactly.
just my opinion. But it's good to hear opinions from other people.
It
you
allows
know?
You to form not necessarily your own opinion, but you get a view of like
you get all information from all sides.
Exactly. You and I are completely different people. We enjoy different things. He sits down with
mm-hmm.
you one day, has lunch with you, you talk wrestling. This is what I like, this is what I don't like.
Yeah.
Sits down with me a week later. This is what I like. This is what I don't
exactly,
like.
Exactly.
How
yeah.
can I cater to both of these people? Because they're on two different ends of the spectrum, but there is a common ground.
Right. And he's always so open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the good things that I tell him
yeah.
to the bad things I tell him. He mm-hmm. doesn't take it personal.
He
doesn't get offended.
Not
you know, like I really like Riley as a person
yeah.
Because of that. And then, you know, TNT,
man.
Which is, I mean,
they're sure blowing out.
You know, water. Last year I told someone, I said, man, Crimson books and promotes the most successful Impact Wrestling shows. Because it's true. He books awesome shows way better than where he came from. And they fucking, there's so many fans. They sell out.
Every
it's
time.
Insane. It is insane.
It's to a point now where when they first started and we were going, you know, we were buying tickets because we wanted to go. Uh-huh. We wanted to promote the podcast. We wanted to get interviews. Like, we were worried about if we were going to be able to get tickets or not because, like,
yeah,
they legit sell that. And it's such a cool building,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
We were legit worried if we were going to be able to get tickets or not. There's, you know, like you said about Riley, it's not the show that I would book,
mm-hmm,
but it's so much fun because they also bring in, you know, like a cruiserweight style, you know, they'll have like a hardcore match,
a women's
uh-huh match. Like it's like a Baskin Robbins of wrestling.
Right.
And I think really, not just Nashville, but like Middle Tennessee up to Clarksville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the same story. Like you can go to Tullahoma and you can get your Southern SWF, Southern Wrestling Federation.
You can go to Franklin, Kentucky, and you can get that. You know, you can go to Clarksville.
Exactly.
You can go to downtown Nashville.
Franklin's not far from Kentucky,
yeah,
from Clarksville. You know, there's just so much wrestling. What, Franklin's, what, like an hour and a half tops?
Yeah, yeah. It's an hour and 10 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
You know, and even Ox, even the show that I went and did yesterday,
mm-hmm,
that was a 2-hour drive.
Yeah.
It wasn't even, in my head, I was thinking, you know, Rockwood is Knoxville, but it's not.
It's before.
2 hours, you know? I mean, so we're doing something special right now.
And even in East Tennessee, they've got, what, NGW and mm-hmm Bandit?
Which, dude, NGW
I hear it's
blows my fucking mind. I can, just like you,
mm-hmm,
I cannot explain how good of a job they do out there.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I went and did one show, and it's not a money show, it's not a money place for me.
Sure.
Me personally. But it is worth going out and watching their show. Their fans are so rabid, so hungry, so appreciative.
I heard you guys talk about how it's in, like, the poorest community in Tennessee.
Newport, Tennessee is the poorest city in the entire state of Tennessee, and they are a line standing out the... And you should see the way to get to this building. So it's in an armory, and this armory is up this on the top of this weird hill that's in this area of trailer parks that is, like, impossible to find, man. Oh, I mean, it took me and Braxton... We probably drove around four
like
or five times to try and find this building.
Underground stuff.
And it's... And when we finally found it, like, we're rolling up there, and I'm thinking, oh, what have I done? You know, like, because, you know, some of the places that I go and do gimmicks at, you know, they I come for free.
Sure.
You know, I do a lot of work promoting shows, mm-hmm, and, you know, different things like that. But I'm not, you know, I mean, this is a business, and so, you know, I pay for vendor spots like anyone else does.
Right.
So, like I said, sometimes I don't have to. Sometimes I do.
NWG, just like I tell Chad, like, you guys are in addition to shows.
Yeah, yeah. Some shows that we some shows, the trade-off from not paying for a table is worth it for the promoter.
Sure.
Not all shows are like that. So NWG was a show that I paid to get on, and it's far.
Yeah.
It's really far. Again, one of those places that I assumed was closer than it actually was. So we get out there, and I'm thinking, what have I done? You know, like, we're sitting at about 4.5, almost 5-hour drive one way. And it's out in the middle of nowhere. No one's going to show up. That's in my head.
You've got all this stuff, too.
I got all this stuff. You know, I'm paying to be here, not just in gas. I'm paying Braxton. You know, he's my help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying for the table, you know, and I'm thinking, what have I done? You know,
oh,
and so my only hope was that, you know, Joey Ryan's going to be there. Cody Rhodes is going to be there. I'll work some deals out with them. You know, sell some stuff on sure eBay kind of thing, you know. So I'm thinking, oh, this is
what
this
is a great backup plan.
And I try to always have that.
Yeah.
So we get there and I'm thinking no one's going to show up, right? No fans. Man. And, you know, 40 minutes before the doors open, all of a sudden there is the biggest line I've ever, every person who lives in Newport came to watch that show. They knew every single wrestler on the
that
show. Dude, Sean Hoodridge is the most over dude I've ever seen in my life in Newport, Tennessee. Oh my God, they know Sean Hoodridge.
That is incredible.
It's, you should see it, man. They know Sean Hoodridge.
Strap him.
But it's just like, they were old Southern people, and I don't want to disrespect them.
Sure. I know what you mean by that.
Okay, I don't want to say the word redneck.
Sure.
But they are country. They are country people. They were indie wrestling fans. They were throwing streamers. They were doing the indie chants. All the indie, you know, Joey Ryan's dick spot. They were popping for all that stuff,
they were
man.
Just happy to be
and they
there.
Were loud. You know, I can't tell you how loud they were, dude. And it was just when I went to leave. You know, I'm like I said, it wasn't a money maker show for me. I did I've yet to do a show where I lost any money. So, okay. You know.
Well, that's good.
Let's knock on wood on
that.
Yeah. So at the end of the show, when I was getting ready to leave and everything, you know, I went to go thank the promoter and everything. You know, he asked how I was doing, how I did. And, you know, I said, well, that's really irrelevant because I had such a good time. It doesn't really matter.
Man.
I mean, I wanted him to know that I respected what they were doing. I try to always, when I see it, you know, I try to make sure I share their stuff just because I want them to do well. Just like you guys. I want people to go to the High Spots Network and watch their shows. Mm-hmm. And I want them, if I don't know if anyone will ever happen to drive through Newport, Tennessee, but if they do, I want them to stop by and watch, and you know, so they can have extra fans or whatever, you know.
The thing that really caught my eye about, please forgive me and feel free to correct me, I don't know if it's NGW or Bandit that books him, but Mr. Grimm, the Hitman for Hire.
Uh-huh.
So with the podcast, when we would, you know, travel these shows, we went up to Brooklyn for Tier 1 Wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Before Tier 1, they had a show called Wrestler's Laboratory, which is like, they take some of the lesser known guys, give them like, it's like a pre-show almost.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's a great idea.
It is. So they had Mr. Grimm on there, and we watched Mr. Grimm beat the ever-loving dog shit out of this guy. Obviously in a safe way.
Uh-huh.
It was, you know,
yeah,
worked, but
yeah.
He just hits hard.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the kid necessarily expected it, but we fell in love with him, and we had to talk to him, and he gave us one of the best stories we've ever had, which, I mean, it's real life for him.
Yeah.
You know, one of the best interviews we've ever had. So when I saw that they were booking him regularly, I was intrigued because he comes from the Northeast.
Yeah.
So that's like, they had to see him or find out about him, and like, he's really good.
And they're, you know, very open to, one thing that I really love about the promoters of 2018, those guys in Newport, you know, that's a southern
area. It's a southern market.
Promoters like you. Mm-hmm. James Carver, who is in Franklin, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Someone who, before I met him, I would have never assumed what I know about him now. But the Crimson, you guys are so open to new talent. And I love that. You know, I love the idea of, you know, it's like when I first met Ray Fury and Alex Cruz, I met them in Memphis. And they're both from, like, Louisiana. They're much, much southern,
Elevate,
you know.
Bro.
Yeah, yeah. And I asked them, you know, if they'd be interested. Because I fell in love with both of them. I thought they were both good.
Alex Cruz was really, really good.
Fantastic. Yeah, he was really good. I actually booked Cruz. I didn't book Fury. But Fury came in for the Jerry Lynn seminar. So when I saw him there, I actually called someone out because I wanted to use Fury because he was already there, you know? But it's just like, that's what I'm talking about right there, is that people who are open to bringing in talent, like we brought in the Barbarians from the very, very, very Northeast. Very, very Northeast.
I like those guys.
And they're just, you know, they're different. No one in Nashville had seen these guys before. And Kurt Stallion, you know, I'd never seen him before. I appreciate you bringing him, and I appreciate NGW bringing in Penta.
Come
you know,
on.
They brought in Penta and Joey Ryan and Cody Rhodes and,
nuts.
You know, in Newport, Tennessee, you
of
know.
All places.
And so it's
you
just,
expect that in
yeah,
Nashville.
You do. You do. But in Newport, you know, and so I just appreciate the promoters of 2018 and how outside the box everything is right now. It's a different landscape.
You asked me short-term goals, and a big short-term goal for me is actually in this – I don't consider it like regressing. I want to use more Tennessee guys.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Cobb showed up at one of our shows, and we had, you know, he was in a scramble match.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Mance Warner kind of wrestled around, and I fell in love with that very brief moment where they got to wrestle with each other. And I told Mike after the show, I said, "You came in, you got in the scramble match, you got over. That's not easy to do in a multi-man." Or maybe it was the Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's not easy to do. Like, you weren't overbearing, but you did everything you could to make yourself relevant and stay relevant. And Mike Cobb is a damn good wrestler. And when I got to see him and Mance Warner kind of go at it, I was like, what if? And of course, I don't call all the shots. But I would really like, there's a bunch of guys in the area that I would really, really like to slowly integrate into our show.
Yeah. That's fantastic. We have hit that time period. And I, you know, first of all, thank you.
Thank you.
For coming over. thank you for not kicking my ass over my review of your last show.
I listened to it and I loved it.
And you know, like I told you, you have an open invitation to come anytime you want. I would love actually either before your next show, okay, or maybe like right now, maybe after, sure, your next show, if we do this again. And kind of do it in the same kind of way, where we just kind of talk about what kind of the things that transpired going into, sure, your event, and whether what's going to happen,
yeah,
you know, or what already did happen, whichever way we go, sure, you know, whether you come before or you come after. But I definitely want to talk more, you know, just general wrestling with you, because, you know, with Johnny, we talk about certain things. Mm-hmm. With Quentin Charisma, I'm talking about certain things. But I really don't have anyone to talk just general wrestling.
Sure.
You know, just general, everyday pro wrestling.
Sure.
It's everyone's got a story or everything's very specific right now. So I would love to have someone to talk just general pro wrestling with, you know.
More than willing to be your guy for that.
Yeah, so when's your next show? What's the date?
April 22nd. We actually have not announced that yet.
Okay.
So.
Wow, exclusive.
We're not there now.
Wow.
April 22nd, it'll be another Sunday show. We've had luck with
which,
Sunday shows.
Which, thank you. I'm a big fan of those.
Oh, I am too.
The earlier Sunday shows?
Man.
Except the biggest problem is I get really drunk early, and then I come home and I take a nap.
Oh, hey man, that's trying to live my best life.
Yeah. So we went through your Twitter and your Facebook. Let people know, how can they support you as far as purchasing your events, your past events?
So we have past shows on the High Spots Network. We have our October show, Headwalk Among Us, on Powerbomb TV. If you want to sign up for Powerbomb TV, you can use our code SUPGRAPS, SUPGRAPS, you know, that'll get you a free 20-day trial. If you say signed up after that, then we do get a kickback, mm-hmm, from the subscription. I think going forward, we're going to try to do something a little different. Like, not to, like, toot our own horn, but I feel like we were, like, the first Tennessee company to really go through High Spots.
Mm-hmm.
Which was great. We have a great relationship with High Spots. But then we found out about Powerbomb TV, saw the roster that they were building. We wanted to kind of go in that direction. So we went through Powerbomb TV. Mm-hmm. And now I think we're going to try to focus more on making our crew even smaller. We bring in Swerve Video to shoot our videos. They do great. But rather than going through High Spots or Powerbomb, I think we're just going to pivot share it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. So, yeah, the show that I did last night, WrestleTopia TV, is going to be my whole new, my main focus.
It's a hell of a mission.
You know, still Fight TV and all that kind of stuff, and maybe Powerbomb.
Yeah.
You know, pivot share and Patreon.
Yeah.
Are the two things that I'm most focused about. Patreon for the podcast,
sure,
and pivot share for the video. But
Pivot Share is a great tool.
It really is, because you control it. You know, you upload what you want to put, mm-hmm, up there, you charge what you want to charge, and you get it back.
Exactly.
You know?
We're not out to, like, gouge anyone.
Yeah.
I think you can do a subscription for Pivot Share, but I'm not sure how that works. I know that we charge $4.99 per show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're not out to gouge anyone. If you want to check out our show and, like, maybe there's one match you want to see.
Right. It's worth that $4.99.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and we also put free stuff up on YouTube whenever we get the chance. My girlfriend Brittany, her computer that had some stuff on it got stolen.
Oh.
And then something happened with Koo's computer. So we're working on getting some files back. We just have to figure out who's, mm-hmm, got them. So we're working on getting, we promised a while ago that we would upload a tag match to, YouTube. As soon as we get that, it'll be up there. So,
well, thank you very much, Jesse, for being a part of this, and I appreciate it. You know, I am 2 months in. My very first podcast was January 1st. You are episode 12.
Episode 12. Baby.
So, thank you very much. My plan was only to do like one or two of these a month, and I've done a whole lot more than
happens,
that.
It happens, man.
So,
it's a good problem to have.
It is, right? It is. So, once again, thank you. And
thank you.
I hope that everyone listening to this, you know, goes out and checks you guys out if they haven't already and support you moving forward. I know that I'm going to continue to support you.
I appreciate that.
And hope to have you back on here real soon. And, you know, I'm just going to leave everyone with, remember, 90s tape trading was fucking awesome.
It really was.